Butterflies return someday. This is your host, Tanya G.J. Prince. For just a little while, we're going to move towards the light, where there's truth, where there's empathy, compassion, healing, hope. Oh my goodness. And away from the darkness of lies and secrets and violence and abuse, just for a little while. So, I have this on the blog, but I know we've got busy lives and, you know, maybe you'd like an audio copy. So, this post is called, you know, people don't fear your inner world. They fear being controlled by it. So listen, when I was in college, I was earning my degree in organizational management and development. Now, we were asked to give a presentation about early milestones in our lives that, you know, brought us there. Like, what made you guys interested in taking, you know, in majoring in this area? What brought you here? Kind of a way to, you know, steady us. So I shared something that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I'm the oldest of three siblings. Yep, oldest girl. So you know what that means. So back in the day, we used to always play these imaginary games, and that was like that was so fun. And we would have like dance competitions where, you know, fake money was the grand prize. So we would dance against each other and judge one another. It was cool. And we would maybe like some of those game shows. There were a lot of game shows on television. And so we would play along and, you know, act like we were winning. And we would win the prizes, like we was winning the refrigerator and stuff. Or we would pretend, you know, especially me and my sister, not so much my brother, but we would pretend our dolls were real and that we were their parents and, you know, little stuff like that. You know, it was just joy. I loved growing up with them right by my side. I would not trade that for anything. So one time we invented this game where we lived in this imaginary town, right? And naturally, I'm the oldest, I am bossy, and I made myself the mayor of the town. And so, this is what I told my class about why I was there. Because my brother and sister fired me. They fired me. They banded together and they fired me. And they got tired of taking my orders. And when they revolted, you know, they revolted in a big way. They were like, this game ain't real. And they weren't doing anything that I said. We're just not going to pretend with you anymore. We're done. And I was stunned. They really hadn't done anything like that before. I was shocked. Now, to their point, as the oldest girl, if I'm the boss every other time, if I'm the boss when it comes to getting chores done, if I'm the boss when it comes to, you know, making sure homework's done, you know, because, you know, my mom's working jobs and stuff and I'm in charge, why would they welcome me as the boss during playtime too? I get it. So during preparation for that assignment, years later, I shared that I realized something. That moment was part of why, a good part of why I was in the classroom. I was there to learn what businesses and organizations may not even realize is their greatest asset, and it's human beings. Because people, even children, will play along for a little while. But if you get beyond yourself, if you get too bossy, if you forget that other people have feelings and wants and needs, if you forget that, people, at least some of them, maybe not all, some people will revolt. And so that's what this is about. Most people do not resent at all what others believe. They don't wake up angry that other people pray differently. Not most people. Not angry that other people love differently, heal differently. Many paths to healing. Imagine differently. Name their pain differently. Human beings have always, it's nothing new about any of this, nothing new about any of this. Human beings have always carried private worlds, always. Never been a time when this wasn't the case. Some call them faith, you might call them culture, conscience, or imagination. Even children do this. And no one taught them how. They just start doing it like we did. No one taught us how to do that stuff. We just, you know, we're together, we're bored, we just did it. A child, like, think about it this way. A child creates an imaginary friend. And most of the time, no one's harmed by it. It's actually kind of cool. It's tender. It's creative. It's a way of learning how to be alive. How to spend your time alone. It's cool. The problem does not begin there with the imaginary friend. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of studies that say that some of those kids are more creative than others. Other studies that say that they're more smart. I don't know. The problem begins, though, when the imaginary friend is brought into everyone else's game and used to control the rules. I'm laughing because I remember something like this happening when we were kids. Suddenly, it's you have to play this way because my imaginary friend said so. My friend says you're wrong. Now, nobody else can see this friend, but we have to go along. We can't do that because my friend forbids it. Now, keep in mind, no one cared about this. No one, you know, may have bullied them about it. No one cared about their idea. No one cared about their shoes or cared about anything about it until you decided all of us had to come under governance of this imaginary friend. Now we have a problem. At that point, the issue is no longer imagination. It's coercion. It's bullying. It's bossing. It's a lot of, you know, we got names for the things. And I'm trying to be, you know, I have to watch my tone a bit here too, because I'm chuckling to tell the story. But I want you to know, in fact, as an advocate, I have heard, I can speak here. Some male and female survivors both have been and are being abused in exactly this manner, where someone comes along and starts up this scenario where a third party or third idea is in charge, and you're supposed to be obligated to it. Now, therefore, having said that, this is why, you know, as survivors, we you know, whether you're an advocate or not, often we come in contact with one another. We end up talking with one another, whether we're in support groups or not. You end up talking with one another somewhere along the way. So, survivors hear about such things, I'll say. Survivors understand this difference, and I'll say to the bone, many of us. Doesn't mean you take heed to it. I just said you may have heard about it. We are rarely disturbed by the private inner worlds of others because, quite frankly, it's a healing, it's a coping mechanism for some people. It doesn't shift some people's world if they've gone through healing from violence, abuse, or coercion, or whatever. Because you understand, you may have been around some folks that say, listen, everybody got to get through it the best way they know how. It doesn't really rock your world. But what unsettles many is this. When someone uses their beliefs to override the consent of others, uses the pain, their pain, to command another person's silence, to silence another person. So we can both speak about our pain simultaneously, or uses their ideas, their thoughts, to demand our obedience, or uses their healing to control our boundaries, or uses their story to erase ours. Now we've gone beyond and into a different place, because we can all heal at the same time. We can heal in unison together and believe different things and heal in unison at the same time. But there can't be dominance. There can't be dominance. That's the thing. So there's a quiet line that healthy people learn to respect. And sometimes you do have to learn it. It doesn't come downloaded with the human being. You do have to learn it. You may carry your inner world, but you may not rule mine. And I dare say that, listen, let me clarify this too. Just because you say, I don't believe anything in anything, doesn't mean that you understand this principle. Because some people say, come against those of us who do have belief systems that sturdy us. And say, well, and mock that. It says, again, slowly, you may carry your inner world, but you just may not rule mine. You may carry your inner world, just don't rule mine. Healthy belief says, this is what I choose. Unhealthy belief says, this is what you must accept from me. Healthy imagination says, this helps me stay safe. A lot of people get that. Lots of people get that. Unhealthy imagination says, this decides, therefore, my healthy imagination, this decides what you're allowed to do. And that's what folks say. Wait a minute. Line was crossed. I understand what keeps you safe, but that's not going to work for me. Healthy says, this guides me. And I'm hoping that we can learn to be okay with people having diverse beliefs. That's okay. Even if you don't believe it. I have a set of beliefs, and we do a lot of multi-faith work within violence and abuse. We do a lot of multi-faith where folks believe various things and hold leadership within their faith beliefs, and have done it for a long time now. So it's healthy to look at others and say, this guides me, be it faith, be it what have you, primarily if it's a healthy belief now. Yeah, because I haven't done it the other way. But anyway, unhealthy faith says, this, what I believe, governs you. What I believe, it governs you. So in the home and other places, that's pretty unhealthy. Because how? Now, survivors have lived many on the wrong side of that line, because you don't have to have grown up in a home where people declared a religion for that to have happened. You could have grown up in a home where nobody declared that they believed in any type of faith, and nothing like that was spoken. But these same principles were followed. That what I think, what I believe, governs you. Same thing. It happens in families, in relationships, in institutions, in movements, in communities that may have preached love, but in practice, it was control. Now, why this matters for healing spaces, we create safe spaces. The only way to create safe spaces, the only way is through agreement. The only way, by shared agreement that no one gets to annex another person's body, mind, labor, or voice. No one gets to do that. Co-opt another person's body, mind, labor, or voice. No one's belief outranks another person's safety. What you believe, you don't get to put me in danger because you believe something. You don't get to put me in danger because you believe something. Well, I believe that, you know, we can all go stand in the middle of the field when it's a lightning storm. You don't get to put me in danger at that point. You all can do what you want to do, but that's not what I'm going to be doing. It doesn't outrank my safety. No one's story cancels another person's truth. We can honor imagination without surrendering autonomy. It's I promise you, it's possible to do that. I'm laughing because at times it has been, it's actually been quite fun. We can respect belief without surrendering consent. In fact, we must. We must, because that's survival. That's how survival works. You don't give up your consent and your autonomy and all these other things because someone else had an idea or thought. We can witness one another without being ruled by one another. So beautiful. And listen, I hope you hear this. You're not cruel for resisting control. It's all, listen, expect it to be framed that way. Just look for it. Just look for it. Look for folks to frame it that way. You are cruel for resisting control. That's the first go-to. That's the easy one. You're going to be cruel for resisting control, but you're not. You're not closed-minded for protecting your boundaries. You're not difficult for refusing to live inside someone else's inner world. Listen, I have a lot of fascinating things going on inside of here. So I love being invited into other people's inner world. I really do. But I can't live there. I can't. I really have to concentrate. I mean, it takes a lot to pull me out of my inner world and have to live out there with the rest of y'all in the real world. I mean, come on now. I can't live in yours. You are practicing something sacred. Self-sovereignty. Isn't that a beautiful word? I love that word. And that is not a threat to healthy people. Healthy people don't care. They don't, you know, that doesn't sway them either way. They're kind of doing their own thing. It doesn't sway them either way. It is only a threat to those who confuse belief with entitlement. So, anyway, you just got to find spaces where your self-sovereignty is honored. And if you can't find one, you know, you got to continue to work with other people to make more spaces for yourself and for others. All right, y'all. Y'all have some great moments in this day. Yeah, these are tough times. I don't think there hasn't been any non-tough times for a lot of us, though. So we just got to make some more great times. Anyway, all right, keep boundaries around your greatness. All right, thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.